life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we will be talking about Christmas in the spirit world. So if you'd like to join us with a question, you can speak to Gregory Hay yourself, who is the spirit communicator that will be with us, as usual. And the number is a free phone number in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, you do have to pay for the call, but it's only a quick call. And it's 001-530-876-3222. And don't forget, it's not a reading-style show, but it's questions, general questions that everybody can learn from and enjoy hearing about to stimulate thought-provoking situations to come to your mind, hopefully. That would be really good. And anything that you want to know about the spirit world or other worlds or anything to do with anything that you think the spirit world can help us with, then we welcome your call. So do join us. That would be lovely.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. And you can join us on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT. And if you'd like to know more about us, our books or CDs, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. And also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And now in Europe, we've actually got another website now, which is called www.spiritsworkradio.com. McAvey.com. And that's incidentally just because people then in Europe and UK, they can see more local things to do with their activities and stuff like that. Okay, now as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during the time that they're taking control. So when I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. In this case, it's Gregory Hay. So I don't only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. And they could take me all kinds of places. You know, it might be like that I suddenly find myself on a leaf, for example, and I'm actually the size of an insect. Well, that's kind of, I know, we won't even go there. I sometimes feel like my mind's still there anyway, being the size of an insect, I mean. It's sort of like the whole situation that we go through each time that we do this. Remember, dear friends, it's always an experiment. So every situation that we do, we've done almost 300 shows now on this particular station and with BBS Radio, and we've done another 200 with the other program that we just recently took off air. So that's it.
So it works.
That's what? Oh yeah, so yeah. Works. So it works. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then all right. Bye.
So Mick's going to go off now, and basically, if you would like a reading with Gregory, he does do private, personal, one-to-one readings on the telephone, or obviously in person if you're in the UK, which is where we are at the moment. He does Akashic readings, which is a soul reading about. Basically your core energy, and he can help you with your gifts of spirit, maybe, or he can help you with your pathway in life, general direction, marrying your spiritual pathway with your physical material world pathway, and find out, you know, about your guides and your doorkeeper and who walked with you, and just a general, it's quite different to other readings. He doesn't do fortune telling or anything like that, but those are the sorts of readings that you can get from Gregory, and you can go to our website and find out more about that on spirit-teaching.com. And if you would like any more information about that, please do email me. I'd be more than happy to help you and give you any more information that you might need to know. Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of many great minds, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there's a need for us to have understanding, because our human minds are somewhat constrained with the limitations of our human brain and the things that goes on, basically. So they've come here to hopefully open our eyes and minds to further possibilities of life and beyond life and before life. So don't forget, if you would like to join us, then you can do that on free phone number in the US, 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not free, you have to pay for it. And the number is 001-530-876-3222. And I do believe Gregory's here.
With love and light, blessings be, dear friend. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, my defense little bird. Yes.
Welcome on this Christmas edition of our show. We've got some mince pies out for you.
Thank you very much, dear friend.
Did you have mince pies when you were alive?
No.
That wasn't something that was around at the time.
No, my dear friend. We were actually lucky to break bread.
True. Yeah, okay. Yes. But I'd like to talk about the spirit world and Christmas. Well, actually, we can also talk about when you were alive and what the sort of things that you did for Christmas. I mean, I just thought it would be nice to do a little Christmassy festive show today.
I understand. How quaint.
Yes. Yeah, so in the spirit world, I mean, what happens in the spirit world with, I mean... The thing is, I know it's supposed to be a religious sort of festival, but it's
yes,
not.
So.
It's not anymore, really. Mainly, it's to do with just a celebration in general, isn't it?
I understand
for most
that.
People, you know.
Yes, so, in the physical world.
In the
yes.
physical world, so in
that
the
isn't the case in the spirit world.
Okay, right. So, as in, what do you mean?
Well, as in the fact, my dear friend, that you are quite right that perhaps over these. Particular period, it will be that many beings, even if they were just slightly interested in matters of Christendom, shall we say, that what tends to happen is that it's something which then becomes quite a highlight of the spirit world, purely and simply because of the energy that is drawn from the physical reality. The reason for this is purely and simply because oftentimes many people, beings in the physical reality, stop and think at times of Christmas as to matters of their dearly beloved, recently departed, or some other such situation. I know that many of these things are evoked because of the present situation that exists in the physical mind, which is really to do with emotional leverage attached to the Christmas time. This is something which is then evoked purely and simply because of the Victorian era of imagery that was then subsequently created, of which you are still celebrating.
Yes.
I understand, however, that before that, long before that, there were many different situations, occasions, for hundreds and hundreds of years ever since the initial birth of our dear and loving friend. And that, in actual fact, what had happened was that it was something which was celebrated in many different ways through many different countries. And other different states of religious understanding celebrated facets of it in different ways. There are, of course, those who don't actually recognize it as such, because they may have their own brethren, their own saint, or their own Jesus, if you like.
Yes, their own deity or whatever.
Yes, quite so. And so we have to also honor those as well, because they were in the main beings of the physical life who had partaken of the physical state, and then and tried to show during their life experience perhaps ways in which others of that time might then be enabled to move on with their lives in a more loving and fulfilled way. Part then of what we do in the spirit world at this time is that we use the energy which is created in abundance, the loving energy created on the physical side of life, so that we are able to bring healing to others on our side of life who may need of it. We also use the time in order to bring certain people or beings together that had previously otherwise been at loggerheads to one another, or had some other situation of great negativity. So we use the energy in that way as a very positive focusing force.
How do you use it to bring people together specifically? I mean, I can understand healing, you know, the energy that is created.
Yes, yes.
The loving energy created, used for healing. I can understand that more.
Yes. Well, very well then. To begin with then, shall we say that there are various people, situations which happened on the physical side of life. Let's see now. Perhaps to do with the various different factions. We are noting particularly there were different places like Serbia. There were also Montenegro and different countries, or rather different states of mind, different beings then, if you like, who actually at one time were very peaceful toward one another. They were different tribes, they were different situations, different factions or groups, because they relied or looked upon different religious understanding in order to help see them through life. And oftentimes what had happened in these different situations, for example, within the whole dire situation of Srebrenica, or, well, the many other places, cities and towns that were actually completely where mass beings were slaughtered simply in the name of their own single religion. And that these single situations obviously then mean that when all of that mass of people come back to our side of life, it's like, in a sense, having this the energy of Christmas, which then comes from the physical side of life, because many of these beings and their negative state, once they're on our side of life, continues in their negative state. They are perhaps over-anxious of one another's presence and that kind of thing. We use that loving energy in order to help them understand more about one another, perhaps to maybe even overcome some of their previous prejudices that they had in physical life. The point is, I suppose, that what you have to understand is that many beings from your side of life take with them their own axes to grind. And so we use the loving energy at times such as these of celebration of when the earth was given a beautiful being to try to help others in the physical side of life. And I take nothing away from the time of when Buddha also walked the physical earth, or anyone else. And I have to, of course, also acknowledge Master Nichiren as well, because all of these individuals and those of the various prophets and the various different situations of Islamic culture too, all come in their way of gathering people together to celebrate not only their own birthright of their physical walk of life, but also in celebrating their own religious theocracy, I suppose. And that in itself brings people together, brings different tribes together. The problem, what it also does, is it only brings those people together of those religious factions that exist at that time. And all others are then, in a sense, created unequal. Allah did not actually create a pathway of that created disillusionment. It was not meant to be that way at all. There was no situation where they wanted to incite greater wars to occur. And yet I understand that wars still did. The pure and simple fact of this is that all of these situations create such negative cycles, almost like a cyclone, really, on your side of life, that in this respect, then, it means we have to be able to overcome them and understand different further ways forward, and in using the energy generated at the Christmas time, that is then something that we can help those to benefit from it in exactly the same way as if it were that any other notable individual was celebrated in their birthright or remembered. And in exactly the same way, you see, as those perhaps who would think in terms of dear Freddie Mercury, I'm saying.
Freddie Mercury, from
yes.
Queen.
Yes.
Mm.
Or Master Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
John, not Stalin, or anyone else. Or
yeah.
You see, okay. The situation then would have been that this whole condition of the loving memories of what that person, that being, created within their physical life and the journeys they took simply generate further loving memories. Particularly, of course, with people who have been recording artists of some form or another. That simply means then that what they are able to do is to completely, in a sense, traverse the passing, their own passing, by still having pieces of work that invite and create loving energy.
Like
Master Presley, for example.
Yeah, and Michael Jackson, obviously.
Oh, obviously so, yes.
So basically, that is just another good example of how we're always trying to say how negativity and positivity works and how
it is.
We can make it work to help us.
Oh, yes.
On the earth plane,
yes,
isn't it really? So, but can you generate your? I mean, I know you're using this energy that's coming just because it's there.
Yes,
all
that's
of
right.
The rest of the time, you have to you collect.
We it. Create our own.
You create your own, and
yes.
You just use these situations as they come up as an extra bonus.
Yes, I suppose what you could say is that because of the fact that the new loving energy coming from this time of life, or whatever celebration it is, or celebration of anyone's birthday, however this is made up, some of the loving energy that's created from that celebration is actually retained by the spirit world to be used at a different time. The reason why this is, it's not like a vampiristic situation. It's simply and purely that energy is given back, and it's given back simply to someone else. And it's given back, it's held and retained to begin with, simply because of the fact that it comes from a physical being. Therefore, the energy is very much akin to a physical being. Therefore, we are able to utilize that energy for someone when they first pass, for example, to our side of life. We are able to utilize that energy for someone who is somehow closer to the physical registry frequency of physical life, even though they're on our side of life, so that we're able to communicate with them maybe, I'm not saying that's true for all. In fact, there are some dark and dystopic energies that we're unable to communicate with at all. And there are also others, of course, from different time sequences that can also be difficult to communicate. We will utilize these kinds of earth energies, not earthbound, but earth-released energies.
The familiarity of it.
Yes, and it's that familiarity that then creates the bond and the workability of it. It means that it's a very safe frequency for us to be able to then utilize that pathway to perhaps enable a different form of, not confrontation for that being, but a different form of observation, so that they can see themselves maybe and what situations they've created. Maybe it will be actually the first time that they've even managed to look at it, possibly because they've been on our side of life for maybe it's been like over 1,000 years or something like that since they passed.
Well, they've forgotten what love feels like then, haven't they?
Yes,
it will,
of course.
Hopefully,
that's right.
Ignite some spark within them that touch their spirit.
Yes.
And set them on the right pathway again.
Yes, maybe. It's like giving them another gift. And it's a gift that just seems to come out of nowhere. They don't understand necessarily where it's come from, just simply that there are other beings in existence, not necessarily their existence, but another form of existence, another different registry that really want to help them out of our love for them. We don't have to have known someone in order to give them love, you see. Not like in the physical side of life, I suppose that most people retain and depend upon relationships and the emotional attachment to those relationships in order to bring about a different kind of quantity, if you like, of the essence of the love that they feel. So perhaps if it's a small child or something, a newborn babe, it's not that that babe is familiar or has always been seen. It's newborn. It couldn't have been. But it's actually the whole essence of its energy of clarity and its purity because of its innocence. That is why it is that childlike energies in that frequency are oftentimes very strongly used and create great pathways and passageways within the physical mediumship realms. However, I don't want to go into that too heavily.
No.
The point is that in many respects, then these childlike energies, particularly around Christmas time, because it reminds human beings in physical life and in the spirit world too, just what it means to be an innocent child.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I know we talk about how we are really quite an aggressive race, aren't we? Do you think that we are more generous the rest of the year, different times of the year now, due to obviously the internet, TV and that sort of thing, for charitable events and, you know, there always seems to be some sort of benefit gig or something or other going on.
I understand that because of the facing the world's problems, yes.
Exactly.
Yes, I do understand that. However, little bird, I have to say that in many respects, the situation for your time now in the physical side of life is, it's never been this good in many respects in the form of communication. In whether you as a physical race use that communication skill to its utmost is a matter for your direction and for how you see yourselves. If you want to communicate, then everything is there possibly for you. If you don't, you can still withdraw in many respects. So, in a sense, I suppose I'm saying that because you are a group of beings now live and living your present journey, it means to say, in the physical side of life, what you really need to do is utilize that form of communication skill to its utmost frequency. Because then you are sharing that gift. Never before has it been this well orientated. In fact, my dear friend, when I was in the physical side of life, 1723 after all, when I passed, it's simply a matter that the whole condition for me at that time was, well, I didn't really have much news past the village of Durham, which was some 12 miles away from Swaffham. Mm. Apart from that, I didn't really know very much at all about what went on, even in the city of Lincoln, or Nottingham, or any other place, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't something that was necessary. I sometimes, oftentimes, in fact, knew matters that were going on in King's Lynn purely and simply because my father's family hailed from there.
Hmm. Okay.
But that was all that there was, you see?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you said before that at some of these, shall we say, these music festivals, concerts and that sort of thing, that you use the energy that comes from that as well, the loving energy that comes from that.
Oh, absolutely. So regardless of who it is.
Well, I think that, yeah, exactly. I think this is a really interesting some information for people, because I'm sure they don't realise that this is the case.
Yes, and it's not only that. But I have to say, of course, it's all of the people who commit themselves to whatever religious festival it is, or whatever religious attitude they have. I'm not just signaling out one thing, I'm saying it, all of it embraces and creates love energy. So that if you have a group of people and they are sitting in a temple and they are listening to their imam or someone like this who is giving forward their understanding and their reticulation perhaps about certain information that they have to give on their insight or foresight, it is, of course, going to be a matter of their behavior, but they are going to be actually thinking in terms of their attention to do with that person, or the pastor or priest or whoever it is. You see, they're going to be doing that. They're going to be actually, because of their communication that they're listening to, they're actually sending that person energy in exactly the same, but however much amplified within the setting of a musical event, such as what you have just said, maybe even to do with classical music, or with dance, or circus, or some other such thing. You see, you are actually creating empathic situations of communication from beings, different beings, to one another. If you perhaps go to a dog class or something like that to teach behavior, you are actually acknowledging also the energy not just between the animals themselves, but the animals and their I won't say masters, their keepers. And the relationships between them, they're also relating to one another as well. They're copying one another to a certain extent too, both the animal behavior and also the other situations. So So the people behavior are copying one another, and also the animals are copying one another too. You have many different forms of communication whenever beings come together. It's part, I suppose, of the situation where human beings always count themselves as being separate. It's quite strange, really.
Well, we do, and that's the awkward thing about religion, because it really doesn't matter who somebody worships. You know, that's up to them, isn't it? Everybody should be able to worship who they want. It's when somebody else has a problem with it, or they have a problem with somebody else not worshipping the same person as them. Which is that's it in a nutshell, really, isn't it?
That is it in a nutshell.
It's tragic. Anyway, let's go back to the spirit world.
Yes.
Okay. Gift. Do you give each other gifts at Christmas in the spirit world?
We give one another gifts of love. We don't give them physical gifts because there are not.
Yes,
they don't exist.
Yes, I know, but you can manifest them.
Well, yes.
We can do that.
Yes.
So.
And so perhaps a gift may then only last as long as you have the impetus to keep it.
I'd make myself one, I think. Blow everybody else.
Yes, yes.
No,
I
seriously.
Understand
what
that.
About parties? Do you have...
Well, celebrations. The point is that we are much more empathic toward music and the energy that comes from music because it's created by people's inference of their own intelligence and intellect, their memory, yes, but also their emotion and their compassion coming from now, from spirit. So that means to say, and I know full well that many people on your side of life think that spirit isn't anything at all, or that it doesn't carry any or enough energy to keep it going. That's why it has to keep coming back and having life upon life.
Which is not the case.
Is not the case.
Okay.
So quite simply, what we are seeing is that when a being gives a gift of something else to someone else, in the spirit world, it may be that, for example, one of the things that my father does for my mother is that he brings her a flower.
Mm-hmm.
At every Christmas, he brings her a flower. And it is a white rose that he brings. It's a pure white rose.
Okay.
And it has the scent of vanilla.
And where does he tell us how he gets that, and what does the flower think about it?
He asks of the rose, which grows where he lives.
Okay.
And the rose, it was actually one of his most favorite flowers. I understand it was to do with some earlier part of his life, when he was working for someone or another. I understand that what happened was it was one of the plants that grew up on the outside of the house of the place that he was seconded to when he was working, you see, and that in his physical life he tended this rose very well. And so in the spirit world he has this flower, this plant, which continues to grow all around the place where he lives. The point is that the whole sequence of this event is, in a sense, accentuated because he asks each year for the rose to supply one flower that he may then pick for his beloved wife.
And does that flower die like it would here?
No.
So what happens to it?
Well, basically, my dear friend, what happens is that he picks the rose, gives it to her, and then she, because of their relationship between them, she actually creates tears because of the loving gesture that he gives to her.
Mm-hmm.
And those tears she collects in a small vessel, which she then puts the rose into the small vessel, so that its stem drinks the tears. And it's then able to survive, and once the rose itself passes, that is, its petals succumb to the organic state of its own memory, what it then leaves is a seed. And so she actually has a vast collection of these seeds, which she then gives to other people to plant in the memory of their loved ones.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. And it will be on Christmas Day that he will give her the next rose.
So people do still celebrate Christmas in their own way, in the spirit world. And what about...
And in the way for them, you see, it was actually to display their relationship, their continuing relationship, because she didn't go back, she didn't return to her home on the southeastern border of France. She actually really simply continues to honour her life with her husband, John, you see.
Yes, I'd just like to say, tell our listeners that who don't know, that your mother passed when you were 3 years old.
Yes.
You lived on Earth 300 years ago. She died when you were three, and your father, obviously, you died when you were 18.
Yes.
And he passed, I don't know how long afterwards he passed.
Well, it was some time.
Some time.
Yes.
So, yeah, so basically it's a nice thought that even after all of that time,
yes,
almost 300 years, they can still be together.
Absolutely so. And they don't look a day older. But the point is, of course,
great.
They can actually reanimate their conscious mind and their memory of their physical self to whatever age they wish of it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. What about concerts and that sort of thing? What about carols?
Well, of course, there are those people who love to sing carols. People from many different nations, many different situations that have and continue to have that upwelling of energy that they feel gives to them when they sing such songs. I do not decry it myself.
Well,
I don't have a favourite, however.
Song? Carol?
No, I never did.
No, absolutely not. But, I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to get sort of some... But, I mean, I guess that people who have still got their loved ones here spend time with them at Christmas anyway. In spirit form, obviously.
Yes.
But sharing in the home.
That is true.
And the festivities in the house and that sort of thing.
Yes, that is very true too. Yes.
So they do celebrate in their own way. But yeah, I was thinking about, you know, maybe like you, 300 years down the line, when you haven't exactly got family here anymore, that that would be interesting to know what you did, really.
Yes, I understand that. It's in a sense, my dear friend, it's quite similar to, for example, we may well... move around with or be with the other sharing energies, perhaps of others from our village who do continue to have relatives who live there or some other such thing, you see. That's something a bit like, I suppose, the way that native people from any country, whether it's North America or Czechoslovakia or Australia or wherever it is, you see?
Absolutely.
There will be these tribes people and their ancestral memory which continues to blend with one another.
Yeah. So, can I just touch back on you were saying that your parents don't look a day older than when they passed?
Well, in fact, my father, John Hay, because he passed in his mid-50s, he actually looks really not much more than 34 years of age, as he did then.
Right, okay. Yeah, so because for people that haven't listened to our programs before and heard, we've talked about this many times, but it was something that I was thinking about actually today. And I was wondering if you can actually change other things about yourself that you don't like. Say, for instance, if you didn't like part of your features, facial features or whatever, rather than just getting younger and being like that, can you actually change physiologically how you looked?
Oh, I understand, yes.
Like, if you didn't have a nose job or your teeth straightened or whatever when you were here, could you... Actually, if it was something that you'd always wanted to do because you didn't like those areas of your... Do you know what I mean?
I do.
You're laughing, but I'm serious.
No, I'm not laughing, my dear friend. I'm smiling inwardly.
Because I know you can do long hair and short hair and all of that.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
And, you know, you wouldn't want... Yeah.
Yes. The memory of it is what is important, in a sense, not necessarily what it looks like. It's... I understand where you are, where your mind is set in this respect, but that I have to say that it's a matter then of perspective. Obviously, there are those people then, for example, who didn't like their noses or didn't like their ears or something mm-hmm. like that in their physical life. Didn't like their teeth because they were buck teeth or something like that. Mm. Maybe they have the cleft palate. Or okay. maybe they had a cleft in the in the front of their faces. Maybe their nose was caved in. Perhaps they only had one arm.
Okay, well, let's just talk about ordinary. I mean, that's...
But I'm saying, though, my dear friend, you see, it's a matter then of if a person in their physical life sees this attribute and wishes to say, well, I would like to modify that when I pass to the spirit world. Yes, of course you can, because you can reorientate yourselves.
Okay, right. That's what you can do. All right. Well, that's
yes.
good. And you learn how to do that?
Yes, you can be shown how to do that.
Hmm.
It's a skill.
Is it yeah. difficult?
Well, it's really based upon the Sesi meditation, in a sense. You remember about the whole situation of using the mind to traverse matters of the physical state.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what you have to learn to do. In the spirit world, you learn to utilize the consciousness that was in physical life, and you reorientate it. So you go back to the place of one and one, you go back to the place of first thought, and then you reinitiate the thought of what you want to be.
Ah, okay.
Do
so it's
see?
Another good reason for everybody to meditate, folks.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. It's in exactly the same way, my dear friend, as being in the spirit world, being able to change themselves from one reality to another. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes mind manipulation, because mind continues after physical death.
So not only does meditation here help you in controlling your own thoughts, because otherwise your thoughts are randomly racing around and controlling you and your emotions
That's
and everything
right.
like that.
Yes.
It helps you when you pass, so that you
yes.
can learn how to utilize the new way of actually getting around and
your orientation
because
yes.
it's your mind
yes.
that goes with you and not your brain.
That is right. Well, the brain is just physical stuff, isn't it?
Yes, but there's got to be a connection between the mind and the brain here, hasn't there?
That is
so,
right. And it's a physical and chemical connection.
Ah, so, okay.
That's what happens. Biological situations which happen because of temperature, because of different influxes of chemicals, oxygen, different gases, that enable that brainwave pattern from the physical status of the organ itself to be revealed. It then employs the electrical pulses and synapses that then join various areas of the physical brain together.
So at what point, so how does that work then, when you pass and your consciousness goes to the spirit world, your brain stays here, but it's dead, obviously.
Yes.
How does that work in the sort of severance of that situation? Because that obviously the mind is etheric anyway.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the mind is etheric and remains in the ether world in exactly the same way as your spirit remains in the ether world. It doesn't come to the physical side of life. It's never here in the physical side of life where you are no. at this present time. It's, in fact, always in the ether world.
Hmm.
Which is simply then what happens, that when upon passing the etheric bead breaks, remembering, dear friend, your consciousness, your conscious mind, will, emotion, images, everything else that happens and has happened ever within your physical life experience is still already joined within via the etheric bead to your spirit. To your beautiful, pure spirit. And so, as soon as your earth physical journey ends, the etheric bead snaps. It's not that your consciousness then has to gather itself up and transport itself to the spirit. It's already there. It's already a part of it.
Okay. You say, actually, you've said before that, we do notice this, is that people do tend to pass, there's a lot of people pass at Christmas for some reason,
absolutely.
Around Christmas time.
Yes, because of the energy. It's easier for them.
So this is people that actually were probably going to pass anyway, or that would, you know, almost ready.
Yes, so they either wait so that the energy that they feel is gathered up, and then they just let go. It's like, in a sense, seeds letting go of a tree when the wind comes. There they are waiting. They've cooked their etheric bead, their energy of the tie between the seed and the tree. And it's that the veins of the tree have long withdrawn their juices, their ability to continue to nourish the seeds, because the seeds are already full grown. You can look at it that way if you like, regardless of how you yourself as a physical being see or acknowledge the physical being who is about to pass. So no matter whether it is a child who's lived but one day old, or whether it is a person of 94, it will still be the same. That is the perception of a material physical being looking in the emotive state of their emotional instance. They're looking, using that as an attachment to that person. However, what that person's actually going through is going to be no different to them being an old person, to them being one day old. They were simply let go.
So that basically at Christmas time, what you're saying is the conditions are just right, are just perfect.
Absolutely, yes.
The love and everything is just right, that it happens in it naturally.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, and in equal measure, my dear friend, you will see this happen, particularly perhaps surrounding situations of ancestral birthdays or something like that. So, for example, loved ones who are members of a certain family, perhaps if they are remembering someone of a loved one, they may well pass at a very similar time to them. It's part of the reason why you may find at times that people who are deeply resonant with one another, perhaps they're actually from their same soul group, that what they do is that they... if one passes before the other, then the other may well pass on the anniversary of that person's passing, or something very close to it. Mm. Or perhaps an anniversary of a time when their love was really beautified within their life, in their original existence together, yes?
Mm. Mm. So in the in the reception chamber, when somebody passes at Christmas time and they get to Christmas, to get to the other side, obviously,
yes.
It's just literally like stepping into another room.
Yes.
Would the scene be set similar to how they just left sometimes to make them feel more comfortable?
Yes.
So could they make it Christmassy? Could you make it
Christmassy? Of course, yes.
And you do?
Yes.
I mean, this is it.
It can be whatever a person wants, you see.
Yes, but do you do that over in the spirit world?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Tree lights.
Oh, we'll do anything,
that sort
absolutely
of
anything, whatever is necessary.
Because the thing is that we fantasize from a young age here about Christmas.
Yes.
It's actually when that fantasy and the sort of like the whole surreal, oh gosh, just the magic of Christmas wears off,
yes.
that it becomes quite sad, really. And
yes.
you try and capture that feeling, you know, by putting tree lights up and that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
But that, my dear friend, as I say, is usually something which is created, born, if you like, when you were a child. And the situation is magnified purely and simply because of perhaps the other situations that happened around you at that time of being a child. Perhaps these were very magical times. Perhaps they weren't. Perhaps they were quite opposite.
Yeah, well, it's the innocence of it. And it's
it is.
You know, it's the whole, everything that it projects. It's when a time of your life was, you know, sort of less stressful, basically, and more...
Yes, that's right.
And more magical.
Yes, and you could let go of everything else.
Mm.
That's the point. I haven't to say that in many respects you could say that the condition surrounding the various forms of this are quite simply the way of culminating energy. It's a way of bringing energy together and delivering it. It's part, of course, in your present time now, that of the emotive Victorian experience, as I say, really, which is something that human beings are still, in a sense, hanging on to within their interpretation of it. So it's something that is linked to many images, many situations of sound and taste and smell. And these are all evocations of times gone by, so that you can, it's like you hang on to those emotional appearances, reappearances in a sense, in your life.
Yeah, it's like the Victorian Christmas cards and things like that.
Yes.
I remember being in, I think it was Las Vegas or somewhere one Christmas, I don't know, somewhere hot anyway, and it just seems surreal. It was just not right, it was hot.
Yes.
Well, you know.
And yes, I understand that.
So, and that's the other thing, isn't it? The associations with Christmas, what it invokes within you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
quite
exactly.
So, yes.
So in the spirit world, you can do that too.
Yes, obviously. Oftentimes, we create it, however, not in a large setting, because obviously there may be many people who come to us on this time of year and around this celebration. So it's not necessarily something that happens, oh well, we have 4,300 of you today, we'll just stick one big tree up, a certain number of lights and call it good. We don't do that, of course. It's something that's very personal to the individual and usually is something set by others who are present on our side of life from that genetic family or from their friends or loved ones that they were acquainted with in their physical life, and so is something that is created. It is a very, in a sense, safe marked passage to enable that being to fully transform themselves then to our side of life. It's not a matter then of us willing them to let go of their physical state, but rather to say that welcome. So we give them a warm welcome.
Father Christmas?
Well, that too. I dare say.
Well, you like dressing up in your funny clothes.
Yes, I don't wear the red and white, though.
No.
Pink, maybe. Or bottle green.
What about gifts in the way of do people? Oh, what about food?
Well, again, my dear friend, that's a matter really of the individual, and perhaps if it's a being who has not eaten food, might be, for example, a child that hasn't actually eaten physical food. What then of its conscious memory or its will memory? What's it going to do? So we teach it. We teach that child, that being, that person. If it hasn't ever formed language or ever been present during language, then we teach that being and help it to move through that whole passage, part of their life journey experience. I know that some people might say, well, I don't believe that purely and simply because I went to a medium last week and they said, oh, well, I have a child here who is who was stillborn or who was, and it's still the same child, you see. But that's simply for recollection purposes. It's not who the being is now. That's what you have to remember, that because cells and the passage of memory, even for that child, will be that the memory continues. Because memory began when cells began putting themselves together, began with the influence of spirit, with it interacting with the spirit world. As a child within the womb, even. interacting with the physical world as well during that time, because it was hearing and understanding different things that were going on around it, even from the womb. So there were different messages, different situations that it was hearing that were then helping it to build up a picture of life in the physical world.
Okay. Wow, that's great. Well, I don't think we're probably going to do another live show now until the new year, Gregory. So
I understand.
Would you like
that.
To say anything to our listeners to end this year?
Well, my dear friends, what I would like to say is, remember that whatever you do from this day until the end of the year, do it with your abundance. Create it with your love. The greatest gifts you can give to one another are to smile and laugh, are to bring love to the surface of your lives so that you may fully live. Life is not a single time, but a constancy. Grow with each thought, with each living memory, not to be mourned upon, but to be cherished and continue to grow.
That's lovely. Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings as ever. God bless.
Okay, well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and don't forget to visit us on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And have a lovely Christmas, everybody, and do join us again next year on Spirit's Work. And until then, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.